for joining us today. You are about to hear a message from Pastor Adetona Ifedamola of the Sons and Daughters of Zion Ministry Worldwide. Be blessed as you listen.
Father, in Jesus' name, eternal King of Glory, we give you all the praise, honor, and adoration. Take it all, Daddy, in the name of Jesus. To every sins, we receive forgiveness in the name of Jesus. We trust your glory and presence this moment as we look into your word in the name of Jesus. Daddy, I pray that everybody listening to this teaching will receive their deliverance, their breakthrough, and will sing a new song in the name of Jesus. Amen. Student of TOTM, Training of Trainers on Masturbation, Pornography, Fornication, and so on, and you're welcome again to a powerful and wonderful section. I'm glad to have you, and so far so good. We've gone through several things. I believe our life has received a change. The Lord has touched our heart, and then we're beginning to see the desired person that we has always longed to see. We are becoming a new man. So we look into the very first powerful lecture, talking about deliver yourself, fighting, running, and being desperate, being deliberate, being intentional, and all. I believe you put every of those words to use. I told you these words will not work on their own. You have to put them to use. You have a lot of work to do. And then we look at lust, masturbation, and fornication, where we look at how to go the extra mile to defeat all these things, especially masturbation and put advice you make use of pepper, yeah, or aboliki bow. Yes, and then I remember in that lecture I also told you about lust and how to overcome lust, and we moved there to the power of a renewed mind, then the ministry of the word, and went to breaking the yoke of generational causes, to look into the spiritual dimension and how to handle dreams and all. And we also look into wet dreams and sex dreams. So we have also considered pitfall of boy and girlfriend relationship. I believe you must have gone through that already. Yeah, I'll meet this. We talked about fighting lust and overcoming guilt. I believe all those teachings made a lot of impact in your life, and you have been applying everything that was said. You know, in fighting lust, I talk about the 300 times in a day, and anytime the thought arose, you should consume it by fire, by the word of your mouth. And then I told you that if the urge eventually come and then you can't resist it, you should apply pepper. You should apply it just a little at least to make you stop. And if you have done this in this past few weeks, I'm sure by now you will have been a very bright person. You will have formed a new habit and a new way of life. So today in this teaching, we're going to be looking at fighting fornication. Many people got introduced to sexual related matters at different points in life. Some are sexually abused, whether as a child, somebody was playing with your parts, with your private parts, and somebody was fingering you, maybe as a lady or as a boy, or somebody you depend, somebody you trust was who introduced you to all these things, maybe in form of a father figure or mother figure, sister or brother. Some people got introduced first through rape, and then they couldn't hold themselves from going back again. Some were introduced to adultery, several issues. But you don't need to keep blaming your past. Your past is past. Your future is now in your hand. Your past is in your past. So you need to take charge of your life. You need to take responsibility. You need to stop blaming the devil or accusing God for making you pass through all those things, or blaming those who bring you into it. You need to begin to take hold of your life from this moment. Some have even aborted before. Forget about all that and begin to live a new life. In this teaching, I'm going to be talking about fighting fornication, the implications of fornication, what it can cause in your life, and so on. I want to tell you that fornication will not leave you the way it met you. And I don't want to be like I'm just talking about fornication alone. Yeah, when I talk about fornication, I'm talking about kissing, I'm talking about caressing, I'm talking about hugging, I'm talking about, you know, some people have gone so far, even though they are still virgin in quotes, there are things that they have done that the only thing they've not done is that they did not fornicate. They've done every other thing, squeezing of their breast, holding their mouth and so on, you know, they've done all those things And then if you are into it, listen to this teaching, I want you to also know that it is more or less like fornication. It's just, let's call it forni, and then it is only the occasion you've not done. So all of these things, including fornication, will not leave you the same way it meets you. The same thing goes for masturbation and pornography. Each time you commit yourself to these sexual sins, including sexting or talking about sex, they will never leave you the way it met you. It will cause a change. It will cause an effect. It will cause a defect. It will cause a problem. It will cause a shift in your life. And the more you go into it, yes, the more the defect, the more the effect, the more the danger you are exposed to. Even at this stage in your life, God has covered you with so much grace. You know the way of the Lord. You are exposed to the word of God, and you still keep going back into it. The more you go back into these things, the more the problem that is likely to come across you, the more the troubles, the more the danger. Every time it happened to you, it is compounding. And forget about it. God has forgiven you. God will surely forgive you. Your problem is not even with God now. That's the fact. You know, one day God was speaking to me. He said, "My son, don't make a mistake. I mean, don't fall into sexual sin. But if you fall into sexual sin, I'm really going to forgive you. But I want you to know one thing, that human being will not forgive you. And you are not living in heaven. You are not living among angels. You are living among human beings." And it will keep telling about your ministry, about your life. Holy Spirit was giving me that charge like a father to a child. So the Bible says every sin, 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man committed is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinned against his own body. Flee fornication. Every other sin a man doeth is outside his body, but this sin called fornication is a sin against his own body. It is more dangerous than every other sin. It is more delicate than every other sin. Its effect goes a long way than every other sin." Take for instance, I told you, don't go into that room. Don't go into that room. You will break my heart if you do that. You went into the room, and then you touch something in the room. Maybe something that can catch fire, and the fire burnt you. It burnt your hand. He said, "Please forgive me. I disobeyed you." I said, "My dear, I've forgiven you. But will your hand go back? Can I restore that hand?" That is it. When you touch fornication, you put your hand inside fire. God forgive you, but your hand is burnt. They say, you're bad. You say, knife cut a child's hand. He threw the knife away. But the knife has done the work it will do already. The hand has been cut. The deed has been done. And the more you do it, the more the cut you sustain. Jesus talked about John 19:11. He says, Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." Now, listen to this verse. "Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." There is something called the greater sin. It is called a greater sin because of the implication. The implication of lying is not different. It's not the same thing with the implication of stealing. And of stealing is not the same thing with the implication of backbiting. But you know, backbiting is meant from the implication of, you know, sins have various implications. Some are low risk, some are high risk, even though sin is sin, and any one of them can take you to hell. But before you get to hell, the consequences here on earth. Not just about, "I will do it, God will forgive me, and I will go to heaven." Do you know how many lives you will, how many years you will live on earth, things that will be denied of you, things you will suffer before you eventually get to heaven? Do you know? There are a lot. So, there's a difference between lying and fornicating. It's a bigger sin with a bigger implication. Steve Farrar called it big fuck up. He said, "Please don't fuck up, but if you fuck up, don't commit the big fuck up." Fornication is a big fuck up. And like I said earlier, don't just see it with the eyes of fornication, like having sexual intercourse alone, but the pre-fornications. The iron, the talking to a lady in a godly hour, visiting a man in the house, all these things has its own implication, and their ultimate aim is to also bring you into fornication. Like I told you, it is a big fuck up. Look at David, our man. David, a man after God's heart, he committed the sin of fornication, and everything went haywire for him. Haywire. People will say, David, the friend of God, he committed several sins. God forgave him. Saul committed only one sin. God punished him. Ah! You don't know the story of David. If you know the story of David, you will not want to be like him. You will not pray that your life will be like his life. The punishment, you will never pray for that kind of punishment that come as a result of sleeping with the wife of Uriah, which was Bathsheba, and killing Uriah. Now, what surprised me the most is that God did not even mention the sin of killing Uriah. Like, God's emphasis was on sleeping with that man's wife. That means even if he had not killed that man, he would have still been punished. Now, taking the wife of that man, adultery, was what also led to killing that man, Uriah. Now, see what God told our man, David, the man after God's heart. See, the more lovely you are to God, the day your punishment will come, bam. Because God will forgive, but you will still be punished. The consequence of sin is in the sin itself. Fire will burn you. I can forgive you, but fire will burn you. In fact, I will still treat you. God will still treat you, but the fire is on its own. The fire is, God said, don't put your hand inside fire. That's what God said. Don't put your hand inside fire. So, you know, when you are loved by God, God has taken care of you. Your skin is shining and it's very neat and soft. So, if you put your hand inside fire, you know, the way it will burn, it will be like fuel for the fire. That's what happened to God's beloved when they commit some sins. In fact, after God has forgiven and all. And I told you, every time you do these sins, the more you do them, something is getting away from you. Now, 2 Samuel 12 verse 10. 2 Samuel 12 verse 10. Let me read from verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now listen. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Sword will never depart from your house. I know God was angry that he killed Uriah, but the emphasis was because thou hast despised me by sleeping with him, by sleeping with a man's wife and taking his wife to be thy wife. Sword will never depart from thy house. Verse 11. Thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and I will take thy wives before thy eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. That is, another person will sleep with your wife openly in the public for sleeping with the man's wife inside the house. Kai, for thou didst this secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Nathan said, God has forgiven you.
your sins, oh, you will not die. You will not go to hell. But the punishment, the consequence of that sin, cut, is hanging. And that's how deadly fornication or adultery is. Every war David has fought before 2 Samuel chapter 12 were foreign wars. People from outside fighting him, and he was winning, prevailing. But from that day, war started from his house. Trouble. In fact, the war that shook him the more was conspired by his son. Let's look at him. Chapter 13, after chapter 12, the next chapter, chapter 13, verse 1. And it came to pass, 2 Samuel now, after this, that Absalom the son of David had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar, and Amnon the son of David loved her. Listen, you know, it was David that gave birth to Absalom, but the mother of Absalom is named from the mother of Amnon. Now Absalom has a sister called Tamar. Amnon is the stepbrother of both Absalom and Tamar. Amnon now went on to rape Tamar. Why do you think it's normal for a brother to rape his sister, half-sister? This I was even saying, you can read the whole chapter. You could have asked my father, he would have asked you to marry me, don't rape me. And raping in Israel, the lady will not get any other husband. Say one, two. When Absalom realized what has happened, Absalom arranged assassins to kill Amnon. Sword come to the house of David. Up to date, sword is still in the house of David. No country fights constant war. There's no country at the risk of a war. Like every moment they are preparing for war, what may happen to them anytime, like Israel, the city of David. You can see. So, Amnon died. That was in verse 13. Oh. Now, chapter 13, that one happened 13, 14. Chapter 15, Absalom stood against his father. He formed a palace coup, dethroned his father. David fled on his leg out of Israel, out of his throne, to a separate place. Now, when the king was leaving, he left 10 of his wives, concubines, behind. So Absalom took over the throne. So what did Absalom did? Absalom slept with his father's wife in the daylight, openly, before everybody, to fulfill the word of the Lord. That is in chapter 16, verse 21. And Ahithophel said to Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he has left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art hated, abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. Verse 22. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, on the top of the house. And Absalom went in unto his father's concubine in the sight of all Israel. Kai. He slept with all of them. You can't joke with sin. Even now in the New Testament, please don't joke with sin. Because it still burns. Sin still burns. Now, after that, Absalom arranged a war against his father. He wanted to kill him. God saved David because he has promised that he will not die. Then who died? Absalom, another son of David. going, it has not ended though. That's chapter 17. Go to 24. You know, 17 to 24. David was at peace. Then trouble came again. You read 2 Samuel 24. It says, and anger, and again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Now, it was a sin to count the Israelites in the according to the law. They must not be counted. Now David here went on to count them. Bible says anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and David was moved to count them so that they can sin. Meanwhile, 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1 made it clear. He said, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoke David to number Israel. So Samuel says God, this one says devil. Now the two are not contradictory. By the Bible we understand that God does not do evil things and God will not tempt us. So the punishment of that sin was used by devil as an excuse for God to permit him to go and tempt David. And what happened to David? He counted them and he entered trouble. What happened? So Israel started dying. God came to him, God said, pick three things. Which one do you want? Is it for people to die of famine? And when you read to verse 13, do you want them to die of famine or pestilence or war? And then David picked pestilence. And so they were dying. That was when he offered a sacrifice that the Bible says that he said, I will not offer what does not cost me to my God. Now, that was another trouble. That was in chapter 24 now, 2 Samuel 24. If you now move on from 24, that is the last chapter. Say 1 Kings verse 1, and that trouble started. David was an old man. Then another son of his, Adonijah, want to start a coup, want to hijack the throne. Then I should also tell you this. The son Bathsheba, the pregnancy of that day, that David had with Bathsheba, the child fell sick and died. That was the first son of David that died. Now, that child died. I don't think the child even have a name. Absalom died. Absalom had no son. Amnon died. Amnon had no son too. Amnon has not even married. He had no son. He also died. Now, Adonijah, fourth son of David, want to start a coup in the palace. Then David said, no, I have promised Bathsheba. That was another child Bathsheba gave birth to. That her son, Solomon, will be the one to be king after me. So he crowned Solomon as king. Chapter 2. Adonijah was, you know, Adonijah was forgiven, but trying to start a coup, but still appear as if he still want to stand against Solomon. So what did Solomon did? Solomon killed him. The fourth son of David was killed. Because of what? Adultery. Fornication. The sword never leave his house. Up to date. So sin of fornication is a big fuck up. It's a big sin. It has complicated consequences. Now, what are the consequences? Some of it that it may bring on us. Number one, dignity. Your dignity is reduced. you can try to patch it up. The same between someone who is a victim of rape and someone who fornicated, a big difference. One who is a victim of rape will be pitied, will be loved. People will empathize with the person. But somebody who fornicated and lost her virginity or his virginity, yes. Now, I can stand behind this microphone and tell you that I never sleep with anyone till I got married. I can stand there and tell you. Can you say it? I never fornicated. Can you say it? So it reduces your dignity. It reduces your worth. It reduces your pride. You can't buy it again. Your dignity is lost at that level. Your virginity is lost. Now, thank God it was lost. And you are not lost. You are found. But will you continue in it? The more you go into it, the more deeper you go, the more the trouble. The more the trouble it brings upon you. Virginity is still a virtue. Virginity is still a dignity before God and before man. Hallelujah. Number two. Scientifically, diseases. You know, the Bible says, when you sleep with an adult, you become one flesh with an adult, isn't it? When myself and my wife got married, and we start having intercourse as husband and wife, there are some things. For instance, I usually bathe with cold water. But my wife can... I usually bathe with warm water, I mean. That's what I usually use. Warm water, except there is a very strong heat. Now, my wife can drink cold water, bathe with cold water, and still sleep in a cold weather before we got married. But now, she can't do that again. She also bathes with warm water now. Because in my DNA has entered into her. And this is the fact. There are several strong areas I have. Why is it not those ones? Or why is it not our own ability to cope with cold weather that entered into me? See, if you mix red with white, what do you have? Red. If you mix white with red, what do you have? Red. Negative things spread easily than positive things. That's why we say bad habits are easy to get but difficult to leave. But good habits are hard to get and easy to leave. Bad habits, easy to get, difficult to leave, easy to form, difficult to depart from. But good habits are hard to get and easy to leave. Why is it not ability to endure cold that I receive? Why she receive that I received from her and she didn't receive my own? But because mine was the negative, I was the positive. So my DNA entered into her. Every man, every woman you sleep with, transfer their, you exchange DNA. DNA is in saliva. So when you kiss, you exchange DNA too. But it's stronger in sex. Because what flows is not just sperm or whatever comes out of the lady's body as well, but blood. Yes, at least a strain of blood is exchanged. And that transfer things into both of you. So scientifically, you can have disease and you spread DNAs which contains negative things. At least somebody's DNA contains some negative things. One sickness or the other. Maybe little or more. You don't even know who you are sleeping with. Whether you are committed to one sexual partner, wife fornicating, or two or more, you are in trouble. Now, somebody has slept with 10 people, you are sleeping with two. So, when you meet, both of you become 12-12. No, you are sleeping with the person for the first time, but she has slept with 12. So, what do you get? You get 12 or you get 10. Now, scientifically, you exchange things, diseases. both known and unknown, seen and unseen, detectable and undetectable. And the third implication is psychological. Psychologically, when you sleep with someone for the first time, you fornicate with someone for the first time, there is high tendency for it to happen again. Very, very high. You will discover that person you slept with, you didn't just sleep with him once. That person you caressed, he kissed and so on, you didn't just do it once. You went there again. Despite your vow, your tears, you still did it. Anytime you still see the person, you still feel like. That is why it now costs you more to depart. Because you have to flee, you have to avoid the person as much as possible. For the person not to, because when the person comes, you cannot predict yourself. You cannot. So even when some people are married, they still go back to their ex-partners. And that's the trouble. Now, number four implications is marital. Marital, you have trouble. To the unmarried, you want to use sex to keep that guy, or romance to keep him, or caressing to keep him. Then things you should be angry about, things you should correct. You can't correct it, you can't talk about it, because you are scared he will leave you, you are scared she will leave you. All the sex has clouded your eyes. And that's why many people get into wrong ends. As I get into wrong ends as an unmarried person, you begin to commit sin in your single age. When you get married, that person become a trouble for your marriage. Because once when it calls you, when you see each other, there is trouble. Your husband becomes unsecure, or your wife becomes unsecure. We can't vet for you when you get married eventually. Now, the married cause trouble in the home. Either you fornicate before getting married, or adultery in a marriage. And like I said earlier, your dignity is diminished. For instance, if I stand behind this microphone and I told you that God saved my life, in those days I used to fornicate, blah blah blah. Or somebody told you I used to fornicate, but now I'm a great pastor. And then tomorrow somebody lied against me and say I raped her or I slept with her. Will you trust me? Will you defend me? You say, he has done it before. Or I told you, send your daughter to me, I want to counsel her. You say, God forbid. I've changed, oh. I know of a man of God, a great man of God in this city, who was to be invited to a very great ministry, to the highest level they can give to any minister. When they mentioned his name, people raised up their hand. He said, never, we can't bring him. Why? We had a step with his secretary one time. How many years ago? Like 15, 20 years ago. And remember what God told me. He said, men will not forgive you. And you are not living with angels. You are living with men. So be careful. So that dignity, that pride, you need to keep it. And you might have been in this thing before. The best time to stop is yesterday. And that best time is now, today. Spiritual implication. God forgive you, but you remain a dwarf. In the spirit, in the sense of God, you are reading with guilt. I've taught you about overcoming guilt, but yet devil deal with you with it. Depression comes in. Fornication opens you up to several demons, like diabetes, to several demonic attacks, arrow of the devil, issues of life. Say, God forbid. Still on dignity, still on the issue of dignity, I want to show you something about David. Despite all the things David went through, despite all those things, do you know that when they begin to talk about people in Matthew chapter 1 verse 1, the chronology of Jesus Christ, you hear Abraham also, married his concubine, but legally now. I married another wife, or Sarah's maid, but legally. So let me read the Bible. Matthew chapter 1 verse 1. the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begets Isaac. They didn't tell us about Abraham's sin, no. They just said Abraham beget that. In fact, Abraham did not even sin. Because what he did was in order. Yeah. Isaac begets Jacob. No bad record about Isaac, too. Jacob begets Judas and his brethren. And Judas begets Phares and Zara of Tamar. And Phares begets Exron. And Exron begets Aram. And Aram begets Aminadab. And Aminadab begets Nahson. And Nahson begets Salmon. And Salmon begets Booz of Rechab. And Booz begets Obed of Ruth. And Obed begets Jesse. No bad record. Verse 6. And Jesse begets David the king. And David the king begets Solomon of Ar, that had been the wife of Urias. What is Uriah doing in Matthew again? Why must the writer of Matthew remind us of David's sin? Why? That was a stain in the life of David forever, even after his death, about 400 years after. So please, human beings don't forgive. Your society don't forgive. Like I was telling someone, what if the person you want to marry tomorrow happens to be the brother or the niece or the cousin of the people you are of the person you are fornicated with? What if they happens to be friends? What is going to happen? Will it be good if the person say that yes, you understand? Even if it is mere caress and all, will it all go well? Will it go down well? Think about it. Think about your future, your marital future, and deal with it now. If you have never fallen into it, never allow yourself to fall into it. You know, they talk about something came upon me. It's a lie. Like I told you earlier, nothing come upon people to have sex. Between the minute of sex, you are in your right mind. You are not possessed. You are not gone. You don't disappear. You are alive. You are you. You didn't die. Yes, you didn't die. You are alive. You are able to think. You knew what you were doing and you did it. Amen. Resisting fornication. How can you resist? Number one, don't resist it. Flee. The Bible never say we should resist fornication. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. It didn't say resist. Flee. He only told us to resist the devil. James 4:7. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist boyfriend. Resist girlfriend. What will they do? They will flee from you. I know a young boy. The hand of the Lord was upon this young boy. I called him. I said, be careful. And he told me how some girls were sending nude pictures to him. I told him, preach the gospel to them. They all fled. All of them fled. They said, let's just leave him and it's Jesus Christ. If you resist bad influences, they will flee. Devil will flee. Human being will flee. Demons will flee if you resist. But when you come face to face with fornication, don't think, don't consider, what should you do? Flee. Resist bad friends. Resist bad music. Resist bad places. Resist bad association. Resist boyfriend. Resist girlfriend. There are people I know that they needed me to be counselors, to be their spiritual father and all, but I know what they are capable of doing. What do? I resist them and they flee. I don't give them face. Resist. I wouldn't be here sharing this word with boldness if I have not resisted some kind of people. They came like disciples. I can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for you. Like they needed help. But deep down, they are capable of bringing a man down. I resisted them. They left. There's nothing like I'm trying to avoid him. He's just not getting avoided. There's nothing like that. Someone will say, people can only go far in your life the level you permit them. It's just talking me. His trouble is too it's too much. So I have to comply. No. It's because you were saying a weak no. You deleted his number, you blocked his number, he used a strange number to call you and he said hello. You know that it was his voice. And you say, hello, who is that? It's me, Shegun. Which Shegun, please? Shegun, that you called the call. I know someone I was following up at a time. She was drifting into sin. And we're trying to help her. She resisted me. I fled. And I was stubborn. We must help her. We must bring her out of sin. If I call her with strange number, maybe she hear my voice, she will cut the call. So I stopped. I fled from her. She resisted me. I fled from her. So when you resist wrong friends, they will flee from you. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Mind your content. Be not deceived. Don't let them use white to call red for you. Evil communication any day, anywhere in the world. South Africa, USA, Japan, Ghana, anywhere in the world. Evil communication, evil friendship, evil association, evil talk, evil discussion, evil communion, evil companionship will always corrupt good manners, no matter how good it may be. Now I told you, if you mix red with white, it becomes red. If you mix white with red, any way you mix it, it still becomes red. If you mix black with white with black, it will still be black. It doesn't matter. In fact, if you put a little black inside many white color, white paint, it will still be black. It will still be black. It corrupts good manners. Don't be deceived. Don't be led astray. The Greek word there is planeo. It's planeo. To cause to stray, to lead, don't be led astray. Don't be led from the right way. Those are the meanings of those Greek words. Don't be led away from the truth. Don't be led into error. Don't be deceived. Don't be led aside from the path of virtue. Don't be led to go astray. Don't be led to sin. Don't be caught away. Don't allow yourself to be subjected to these things. Evil communication in any century will always corrupt good manners. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee from youthful lust. Lust, fornication, masturbation, and their triggers. Worldly musics, worldly movies. Flee, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Like the teaching says, when you don't go after boyfriend and girlfriend inside pitfall of boyfriend and girlfriend relationship that was delivered by Mother Treasure, and no, she said, if you don't have boyfriend and girlfriend, then what should you do? If you flee youthful lust and bad communication, what should you do? Go with those that call upon the Lord with a pure heart. If you find no one, stand alone. Stand alone. Embrace godly habits, like I mentioned, in fighting lust. Scriptures, fellowship, prayer daily. 10 minutes, 15 minutes prayer daily. 1 day, 2 days fast weekly. 1 hour prayer weekly. Inside us, this is what we do. Sunday to Saturday, 15 minutes every day. You pray, we call it watchman. Every Monday, we pray 1 hour. Every Wednesday, 1 hour prayer and fasting. Every Friday, 1 hour prayer and fasting. Every day, SFA. If you prepare for the SFA, you come for the SFA. The Word of God. If you are not able to join me with you to light or so, because it's online, you get your daily communion. You do it on your own in the night or in the morning. If you are also able to come, very good. You fellowship with us, but you prepare, you read on your own, you also come. That's fellowshipping every day. The prayer alone that we do every day for, let's say, 10 minutes every day for a week, that's how many hours? 1 hour, 10 minutes. For a year, that's how many hours? That's about 400 hours in a year. Now, sorry, 52 hours in a year. That should be around 60 hours now in a year. Now, you still pray 1 hour Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Fellowship SFA every day, the Word of God. Bible study Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Embrace godly habits. What's godly habits? Bible, prayer, the Word. Bible, prayer, fellowship. Like I just outlined for you, the way we do it in Sardis. Godly friends, godly association, godly words, and go to godly places. Bible says, be with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Let's pray together, because with this we come to the end of this course. Please, I want you to pray. And in case you come across this teaching and you're not even in this school, please apply. We have loads of teachings for you that can bring you out of masturbation, fornication, and lust. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for this course thus far. Thank you for the help you've given to me. I cried and I prayed and you sent my help. Can you pray to God? Pray to God. Thank the Lord. 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 Have you been able to practice everything we've been saying all this while? If not, please, please, please go back and do and practice them. Get the lectures again. Listen to you. Check your notes again. And then practice everything. Do you want to give your life to Christ or dedicate your life to Christ? Say, Lord Jesus, I receive forgiveness for my sins in the name of Jesus. And I rededicate my life unto you. Take me, Daddy, as a true son. And help me in this journey. Hi! Overcome masturbation, fornication, pornography, henceforth, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can you speak out loud against the spirit of fornication, spirit of masturbation, spirit of pornography, spirit of homosexuality? Tell them to get off your life in the name of Jesus. Command them out, say, I rebuke the spirit of homosexuality. I rebuke the spirit of fornication out of my life. I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have a boyfriend that is making you to fall into the sin of fornication, maybe a single sexual partner, there is no other shortcut. You have to resist him so that he can flee. You have to resist her so that she can flee. You have to resist them. If somebody is abusing you, resist the person. If the person is not resistible, give a shout. Tell people to help you. Tell the person to be called to order. Hallelujah. I pray with you. Every powers force, I believe there's no power actually forcing you. Or when I break this power right now, it will only be left to you. So please, I will be breaking the powers, yes, but please, it is left to you. Every powers pushing you for sexual sins, fornication, I cast them out in the name of Jesus. I depossess them. They should get out of your life this moment in the name of Jesus. Be delivered in the name of Jesus. Spirit of masturbation, out. Spirit of pornography, out. Spirit of homosexuality, out in the name of Jesus. Be free indeed in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. I may the common Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. If you've not been to school of spiritual grooming, please apply. It will also help you.
Hope you have been blessed by the message. We are always encouraged to know how God is working through this ministry to change lives. If your life has been transformed, or God has used this ministry to move in your life, do take a moment to share a testimony by sending us an email at sardisinternational@gmail.com. For counseling, please contact the following numbers: 0706-091-6344, 0810-652-2911. May the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.